Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Oh my goodness. What is going on? Well, hello the internet, and welcome to season 116, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is the podcast where we look at America's cadaver, open the skull, look inside, have a nightmare based on what we saw, because it's our shared consciousness. And officially, off the top, we want to say, for the record, fuck the Koch brothers, as in the Koch industry, okay? And also, fuck Fox News.
Wow.
Yeah, brave. Oh, brave as you'd
my
say.
My brave friend.
It's Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a.
The phone rings in the middle of the night. My co-host, yes, when are you gonna start to get high? Oh, Daddy Jack, you know I'm stoned all the time. Cause Miles gonna get high. Yes, Miles is gonna get
I just had to take a little bit of creative license at the end there. Thank you to Hannah Soltis. Back at it with that Cyndi Lauper.
Gorgeous.
Girls just want to have fun. Thank you so much. I can only sing in falsetto. I have a terrible regular voice. I really spent a lot of my time focusing on my falsetto.
Stop nagging yourself. That was great.
I'm nagging myself because I'm doing pickup artists with my own sense of confidence, and then I'm hoping I'll fall in love with myself based on the nagging.
That's good. That sounds... We're like 2 years out from that being an actual book.
Is a way people be like, nah,
start
nag yourself. Anyway, who is that? Who is that? What's that spooky voice I hear? Oh, well, it's none other than my fantastic guest co-host. You already know. It's Jamie Loftus.
It's Substitute Teacher Day. Don't be shocked that my takes are so tight. I'm still Jamie from the Zeit. Fuck, how did I fumble that? I've got some other ones.
Okay.
A.K.A. Zamvita Perone.
Oh.
A.K.A. Queen Elizabeth I. A.K.A. Alexander Hamilton. A.K.A. Zambra Day O'Connor.
Zambra
Day O'Connor.
Wow, the Zamboni brand is strong.
Now, especially that I've mounted one.
You know what needs to happen? We should maybe...
You're right. We should let that slide.
No, that's fine.
No, I'm kidding. No, what were you saying?
I was just more focused on my bad idea than your joke. Is that I would love to see like a pimped out Zamboni where your face is like airbrushed on the hood and shit.
Oh,
like
my God.
Official Zam.
I feel like I would have to die first for that to happen.
No.
That would be like Rust in Paradise.
I know, right?
Like, and then I would get the airbrush Zamboni. That would be good.
And then it's immediately washed off.
Oh, yeah. After
then
one
next
game.
Day, like, yeah, we
one
need it for, yeah.
They're like, no, this is a fucking dignified vehicle. Let's get this woman's mug out of here.
Well, I mean, let's just put that tragedy to the side
for a second of you not being on a Zamboni.
Yes.
And let's take a second to welcome our guest, the just amazingly talented, hilarious person who I felt like I thought I had met her, but it's only because of Twitter. You know that how that happens. Please welcome Alyssa Limparis.
Thank you so much. Now, I would have prepared a song. I would have prepared
you're
a song.
You're talented enough. Just go off. Go off, honey. Whatever you want to do.
Oh, my gosh.
What's a nickname that you had in high school?
Well, you know, my last name's Limparis, and people would have a lot of fun with like.
Limparis Biscuit?
Limparis
is burning?
Pimparis.
Pimparis?
Yeah. Oh. It wasn't accurate. I didn't even know what a penis was. Like, it was like, I was not, it wasn't.
You're like, what is, what the heck are you guys
talking I didn't even know
about?
What pimp was, right. I was like, pimples? Oh no, I have acne. You know, but yeah.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Seekonk, Massachusetts, but it's like right on the border of Rhode Island. Yeah. East Coast.
Yeah, Massachusetts.
That's
babies.
Right.
How's that, is that close to Scituate?
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Okay. Near that's there? A nice one because people usually say Boston. I like Scituate. That you came in with Scituate.
Yeah,
that's a nice local.
How about Milford?
Okay. Look at him go. We got a fucking local in the house.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I played a couple periods of hockey over in Newton.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Newton. And you know what? Now
Newton's
that I see it, we're drinking
Newton's
rich.
Newton's rich?
Newton's a little bit rich.
The only reason I know Milford is because I play trumpet and there's a valve oil called Alcas, like valve oil, and it's made in Milford, Mass. And in my mind, I would say Alcas, Milford, Mass.
Their number one export
is valve oil.
Trumpet lube. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And also, I want the listeners to know we're drinking both sparkling water and cold brew from the one, the only.
Yes,
Kirkland Signature.
That's where we did that's where we got clothes as a kid. I mean,
People are worried about Amazon taking over. Kirkland is already.
That's right.
My hometown was called Brockton. Was called Shoe City because there used to be a lot of shoe factories back when things were made in America.
Yep.
And now there's one shoe factory left. So if you've ever worn FootJoy,
oh really? Don't they make golf stuff? Yeah. Isn't that for golf?
Yeah, that's the one shoe. That's the one thing left in Shoe City.
Surviving.
FootJoy.
The irony, though, it's a business that appeals to like 1%ers.
It's so true.
Right? Exactly. Like it's we're like.
It's not like
a
boot for like arc welders. It's like, hey, man, you want to like fucking exploit some working people on the golf course?
It's Massachusetts Parasite, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, well, shout out to the great Commonwealth
of
Massachusetts. Yes. I would never say state because I don't want that smoke. No. Before we get to know you even better, Alyssa, and the great Commonwealth of Massachusetts, let's tell people we'll preview what we're going to talk about. Cory Booker has dropped out. Yep, that's the end of that. Four embassies, that whole argument that Trump had as to why he had to put everyone in the world in jeopardy, that story is just falling up. It's disintegrating upon reentry into reality. Also, just, you know, some back and forth with Bernie and the Elizabeth Warren campaign. There's all kinds of things going on. Like he's surging and now other stories are coming
are
out.
Mad.
There's lots going on. We have these primaries. People are stressed. And I think we're seeing knives come out a little bit. Like people are starting to be like, is it time to start throwing dirt?
Ryan
are we
Johnson's
there yet?
Out.
We'll see. Get your little rye out. also, we're going to talk about the winners, the Ritz Cracker competition. I did not know.
You know award season's in full swing when we're talking about Ritz Cracker competition.
Yep. You can't even get it. I mean,
that's what everyone's talking about on Twitter this morning.
Yeah.
Everyone's
who got snubbed from the Ritz Cracker. Issa Rae was like, I can't believe it.
She's like, congratulations to these crackers. Sorry. We'll talk about the Oscar nominations and many more. So, first, Alyssa, what is something from your search history that, you know, is a little revealing about who you are?
Well, I was thinking about this last night. I couldn't really sleep last night, and I Googled. This is something I did Google. Not the actors' names. I Googled, are Dwight and Jim friends in real life?
Mm.
And it's like, that's like a 4 a.m. search. It's like, I don't know. Who cares?
But Can we guess? Googling from the reality of the show?
Exactly. So, like, I didn't even have the actors' names. It was like, I gotta know. Were
I think they're not.
Are Krasinski and Wilson a real duo?
Yes, right. Right.
No, are they?
Well, see, because the reason I looked it up is because I have never watched The Office like all the way through the end. Like I used to just watch it till when Michael left. And recently I watched the end and I was like, it's really sweet. You really see the two of them. Like
they create
Krasinski
a bond. Yeah.
Create a real. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if they're still pals. I mean, you know, every interview, I feel like that question you never get, every answer you always get is like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
but
it.
But it's never like, oh, my God.
They went to Aspen. They go to Aspen together every
Christmas. They rode motorcycles across the United States together.
If there's not pictures of them at lunch,
exactly.
I don't believe it for a second. I'm like, show me the lunch pics or you're not real friends.
I agree.
Well, it seems like also, like, I don't know if I'm wrong, but I feel like Rainn Wilson came out of, like, being, like, a theater actor.
Yes.
And then Krasinski was just more of, like,
he's just
I feel like they started in different places. Oh, is he also from Massachusetts?
He's from Massachusetts, yes. True. Yeah.
Where?
I don't know. Somewhere rich, probably.
Okay.
I don't know where.
Anyway.
Him and Chris Evans are from, like, similar parts. Massachusetts.
Oh. Yeah. Ooh.
Oh.
Do tell.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like they seem like sort of different people from their origins.
Don't
but
you feel like we all look that stuff up too, just to, you just like, it's like you want to believe this thing. It's like searching, like, is Dunder Mifflin real? It's like you just want to like believe in like this,
The second I realized they were shooting like in LA, I was like, I'm driving up and down those streets. I'm finding it. It was, I mean, I wasn't devastated because I grew up here, so I knew nothing's real on TV.
Oh, you grew up here. Yeah, because that's how like, even when I found out, like, wait, Seinfeld wasn't shot in, like,
New York,
the streets of New York City, I was like,
Gilmore Girls hit for me. I'm like, Gilmore
Girls.
Not in Connecticut?
Stars that one, too.
They're not
Stars fucking Hollow. Burbank.
Burbank! Stars Hollow
Friends, it's, I know.
Yeah, nothing's real.
Nothing's real. Yeah.
I wish they weren't in
the Burbank. One part in the post-Michael Scott era of The Office, I really liked when James Spader's character, Robert California, came in.
He's so funny.
The Halloween episode where he was like slow incepting everyone, like figuring out their fears so he could tell that ghost story at the end, I think is really a remarkable episode.
Yeah, he's a, James Spader's Yeah, he's such an insane talent.
He has such a good creep vibe.
Totally.
Too. Yeah.
I never saw his episodes.
Yeah. He's
Very. It's like sort of right after Michael leaves. It's like they settle on him taking over for Michael after the little cameos from like Will Ferrell and Jim Carrey.
Right. Everyone
and
was there
Ray
for
Romano.
Like three episodes, and then they decided on a boss. Is that how that works?
Yeah.
He's like the CEO or something.
I watch it so disjointed now. But
exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What's something that's overrated?
Yeah. Okay. So, I know we're past the season, but I got to say, I'm happy the holidays are over. I'm not a big fan of holiday food. Like I don't go crazy over like Thanksgiving food, Christmas meals. Nothing excites me about those dinners.
Mm.
I'm glad to be eating my snacks again. Glad to be back on it. Yeah.
Is it so? I'm guessing this is born out of a pattern where Christmas time comes around and then you're subjected to like the same three meals.
Exactly.
Every year.
Why are we still eating the same meals?
So I get it. I don't eat turkey aside from Thanksgiving Day, but I love stuffing. That's like the one thing I really get excited about on that plate. It's really not the turkey.
Yep.
And then Christmas, I've never really had a consistent Christmas. What's Christmas meal for you all?
Yeah, Christmas, I'm Greek. So we have this like, my boyfriend was at my Christmas this year, and he was like, none of this food is food any human would eat like on a normal day. He's like, this, it feels like it was food from like a different era.
Wow.
This is like, heavy, really like heavy cream sauces and like lasagna. It's like, wait, none of us would eat this. It's
like
a wipe
normally,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's like meant to do that. So you
hibernate. It's meant to do that. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I don't really know. Yeah. I like Thanksgiving food. I like gravy. I like potatoes. I like stuffing. My favorite food when I was a kid was corn.
Yes, corn.
On the cob or just
from
kernels?
The can, baby.
Oh, corn, yes.
Oh, okay.
A little sweetness.
Give a little Jamie her corn.
Yes.
Give a little Jamie her can of corn
and
send her on
her
way.
Get a full-ass plate of corn and just like go to my room. But
would you legit have a meal like that?
Yeah, I still do sometimes. Sometimes you're just like the little, what do they call them? The Green Giant steamer packs?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have a whole ass thing of corn. It's good.
Any butter? Just straight corn?
Well, it depends. No. Right, I kind of like corn in the raw.
Wow. Yeah. Minimalist.
I'm not like the girls you know.
I've got a secret, honey.
But like a holiday or especially like a Christmas meal, that's kind of chaos. I feel like every family has a different approach.
Well, especially if you have like, if you're not American, like you have any kind of immigrant background. So shout out to Elas and to the Greek people.
Ah, yes.
And then also Katina Pio. What does that mean? Like, should we get a drink or something?
Yeah, sure.
I know the song. My Greek friends would always sing that. And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, so it means like, let's get a drink.
God, songs are the best way to learn languages.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like melody, even though like I don't even know how to pronounce it. And then that's like the one bit of common ground I'll have with
people.
But yeah, like for me, like my mom will make just any random Japanese dish because half the time she doesn't know it's Christmas. Do they know it's Christmas time at all? No, they don't, because they're not Christian and they live in another part of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that song to take a tangent about like, yeah, it's, yeah, most people wouldn't that it's Christmas time.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, I just don't, I don't have anything consistent I eat for Christmas aside from maybe there's like a, we'll go out to eat, but
yeah,
nothing like that.
I love getting back to normal routine. I love a routine too. So it's like, yeah, I don't like the switching of the routine.
Oh, so it's, holidays are almost chaos.
That's
for
how
you.
I feel. Holidays are almost like, it's fun, but it's, I felt so happy getting back here and being like, I'm going grocery shopping. And I'm like, yeah.
Right.
That's my thing.
How long were you at home for?
I will say I was home for a while. I was home for probably like 3 weeks.
Okay.
Or two in New York City and, you know, the suburbs.
Yeah.
A lot of time.
What's something that's underrated?
I love listening to FM radio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone listens anymore. People are like, the music's bad and there's commercials all the time. Mm-hmm. And I agree.
Yeah.
Both those things are true. But I indulge in it. It's kind of nice to not have to worry about, like, when I'm on Spotify, I'm like, I got to find the coolest music. I got to be listening to the radio. It's like, just give me the, like, give me the song I already know.
Right.
I'm stuck in traffic. Let me just belt out this, like, you know, 30-year-old song.
Yeah.
It's like, Mr. Brightside's having a revolution. You listen to the radio, you'll hear Mr. Brightside about four times.
Mm-hmm.
It's that. What a song. What staying power.
It really won't quit.
It won't quit, and it shouldn't.
That song could be any age.
Yes. It could be. You could tell me it's...
It came out in the 70s. Like,
or like this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's... But yeah, people are always like, oh, there's just shit on the radio. I'm like, yeah, great. I love it.
So for, it takes the pressure off of you to provide a soundtrack for yourself
exactly.
as you drive.
Exactly. Choose make the choice. And then, you just get to.
The reason like you hear the same things over and over is because the way they do ratings is like people wear this, like they used to wear a monitor, like a Nielsen, like pager that would find out what station you were tuned into. So because of that, a lot of people who work in offices that just play radio over their like speakers in an office, it was like sort of artificially favoring like top 40 stations because that's sort of the most broad radio station you could play in an office. So then other stations are sort of like, well, we also need to be able to make sure that we're playing a hit. So no matter what, if you fucking tune to it and it's not one of the 9 million ads you're hearing, it's a fucking hit and you're going to stay for the chance to get that little bit of a metric bump.
Oh, yeah. So true.
Yeah. But what stations are you listening to now to get your throwbacks?
Yeah, do you heart radio?
Well, I have to say.
For the record, yes.
Yeah. I have to say off the record.
Okay, off the record.
This is off the record just between the three of us and all the listeners. I love country music.
Okay.
So not only am I listening to Top 40, I'm listening to top 40 country music.
Does
a lot
top
of times.
40 country? I feel like that's like
so Lil Nas X.
Like, yeah,
Lil Nas X. Yes. Yes.
Who are your favorite artists?
I love Little Big Town. I love Old Dominion. I love Zac Brown Band.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I grew up on country music, so I also think it's probably a thing of like nostalgia, being in LA, on a different coast, being like, oh, a lot of things are unfamiliar here, but like this is something. I'm in a car and listening to this music. I could be in Massachusetts right now.
And so it's Chris Gaines.
And it's Chris,
coming through the speakers.
Yes.
Garth Brooks.
I'm like,
alter ego.
Is it?
What was his alter ego?
Yeah. I think that's it.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
He's got an alter ego? Like Lady Gaga?
Yo, he had like the swoop bang and everything.
That's fun.
That is fun.
I like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know they did that in country music. They do like a Beyonce, Sasha Fierce thing.
Oh,
what?
My.
Yes.
Oh,
he
my
put
God.
Out the whole con. He was Chris Gaines.
Oh, that
was
like, the do you know, fuck do you, is
that's going my favorite thing about
the
Kurt
one with
Brooks.
The two of them. That is incredible.
What a weird thing to do. And he's got the little shit beard.
The little,
soul
patch.
Triangle. Yeah, that's what they call it.
Yeah, weird to want an alter ego and then go in like the most like disgusting facial
hair. You got a fucking alter.
Like, what if I was fucking gross?
Yeah.
It's more of an alter emo. what is a myth, Alyssa? What is something that people just get wrong that you know the truth about?
I'll tell you what. There is no cure for hiccups but time. And every time you get hiccups, everyone in the room starts going, you got to stand on your elbow.
Close your one eye.
Yeah, close your...
Yep.
Block your nostrils. It's like, no, this is just my pain now, and I have to see it till it's end.
Right.
Ooh, wow.
And that's it. There's no... Because if there were...
It's a lung spasm, technically, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lung spasm. My
like
lungs are just have...
Or a diaphragm is spasming or whatever.
Yes. And it's just got to do its... what's done is done.
I used to do every fucking remedy. Not even joking... Maybe 7 years ago.
Well, and when it hits and it's like bad, sometimes you're desperate. That's what it is. It's such a desperate thing that happens that you'll listen to.
Drinking upside down?
You're like, sure.
Fuck it. I would just be in like my chair and I would just put my head down and then just sip water. And I'm like, yeah, that did it.
I know the drinking upside down thing. It's like no one's ever been able to success. Yeah. Like, we all go down.
And it makes you choke.
Yeah, it makes you choke.
Yeah, and then you're choking.
Maybe it's a prank that kids were told just to be like, look at you, idiot. You almost drowned yourself.
Right, or parents being like, just shut them up. Get them on their fucking head and let them drink upside down.
Just stop breathing. That's another one. Just stop breathing and it'll stop.
My family was like big about pushing the fear element. They're like, you just have to be afraid. And like,
surprise.
The worst kind of people will take the fear angle and they'll be like, oh, if I fucking like stabbed you right now, you would stop hiccuping. Yeah, or like my cousin would like hit us around. He's like, oh, you're hiccuping? Slap, 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 slap.
He took fear as abuse. He heard fear and was like, yeah.
To incite violence on your cousins and be like, I'm helping.
Helping your hiccups. Also, what if I stabbed you though?
That's a classic. Yeah.
My cousin like would be like, I'll stab you with a bit.
Really think about that shit.
Yeah. That's just think.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Yeah. He's doing great.
Oh, good.
No, I'm kidding.
That's cousins. That's what cousins do.
He's a professional hiccup doctor.
Yeah. He just stabs kids with Bic pens and then all of a sudden they're not hiccuping.
Who hasn't been stabbed with a Bic pen, though, to be honest?
I don't know if I actually have.
Or actually, mechanical Bic pencil I've been hit with.
I've accidentally stabbed myself with a mechanical pencil.
Accidentally? What do you mean?
Well, like, I think, like, whatever, you're in class and then you're like, you know.
Oh, like you were just pounding your thigh with your fist.
I pounded my thigh and thought, and then I kind of
tenderized your quad.
Tenderized myself, yeah.
Wow.
Gross. Yeah. I care too much about
blade tenderized. That's what they call that in the business. Okay, so on to some news.
Yes.
That isn't as big as Chris Gaines' soul patch, which is I'm not even joking. Probably like 20 years ago.
That's gonna change my day.
Yeah.
Chris Gaines.
Just knowing that.
And also knowing you and your imagination, who knows what kind of creative work will come out
it's
of
so
you
true.
Even being introduced to Chris Gaines.
I agree.
Right. Like, oh my God. Wait, actually, Jamie, you could be Chris Gaines. You should bring.
I think you are so the person to bring.
Put a little soul patch on.
Sweep your bangs a little.
Not to like toot my own horn, but I could look like Chris Gaines.
Yeah, no. Do a whole motherfucking solo on that horn because I believe in it. Cory Booker, he has suspended his campaign. It's lights out.
Yeah. What does Rosario say?
I don't know. I mean, he just had a video where he was very gracious and was like, you know, we tried our best.
Yeah.
And I will support whoever the nominee is in the end and everybody down ballot. Thank you so much
for
your time.
That's a very Cory Booker. Like, he's like your soccer coach as a kid, you know?
Right.
Like, you lose everything, and he's like, yep, that's okay.
That's
okay. We tried
our
best.
Yeah. Hey, you know
what,
though?
Let's go get pizza. Yeah.
What I'm proud of is we went out on that field, and we left it all out there.
Exactly.
And we would lose 10-0, 11-0 every time.
but we tried our best.
Hey, we didn't score a single goal.
But
hey,
do you not feel
proud of you guys?
Totally.
He'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back. Forever. I mean, I think he was a great... Like, he's, as an orator, had good moments where he was really sort of connecting the dots of some of the, you know, emotions around certain issues and connecting that with certain policies. But I think at the end of the day, like, when you look at the kinds of candidates who are really getting the attention, anyone who's trying to be just even, you know, even near the middle right now isn't quite getting the sort of enthusiasm. And I think he was hoping for every person that dropped out, he would get a little bit more, a little bit more. And I think it just never materialized
He wasn't willing to go as far left as some candidates and also wouldn't go as far right as Joe Biden. So you're just sort of left in this like no man's land.
Right.
Yeah, and especially with Trump, it's like, especially this election, it's just not going to happen. Like Trump's so fucking extreme that like, you need to go. We need someone like Bernie because it's like, Bernie's a response to Trump, you know, or enthusiasm. Well, anyway.
King. He's a king.
You have the pendulum going one way, it's only just creating more force for it to go the other way.
So to sit in the middle, it's like, we are.
Yeah, the pendulum will blow right by you.
Yeah.
I liked my headcanon here is that Cory Booker was like pacing around the offices being like, we cannot drop out before Marianne. We have enough money to outlast.
I'm not dropping
out
before Marianne.
Yeah, and I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait a week, so it doesn't seem like that's what I was waiting to happen.
Yes,
right.
She dropped out like last Monday, and now he's like, okay, fine. Okay, it's been enough time. I feel like
that was the mantra in those campaign offices. He's just like, just not before Marianne.
Yes,
Marianne was down to just herself in her campaign office, and he's like, she's still not dropping out.
Like, what the fuck? What the fuck? She thinking of happening?
She's got like magical bugs working for her. And stuff.
She might.
She might have.
We might have to investigate
that. Marianne would employ fireflies.
Every bug is magical. Every bug. There is no bug that is not magical.
That's right, sister.
What keeps the lights on here? Love.
Mm-hmm. It really does. Yeah. But also cash.
Yeah.
So actually, if you're going to send love or cash, please send cash. But also, but love works. But just not as well.
Well, we'll see. We'll see plenty of Cory Booker in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I think this sort of underlines the lack of diversity. I think especially when considering the support that African-Americans give the Democratic Party, there are a lot of people like, why isn't this field of candidates look more like the people that who have been supporting the party?
Absolutely.
And I think it's, you know, eventually there'll be a candidate that ticks all the boxes. But I think for Cory Booker, you know, his love of Wall Street and Big Pharma, not exactly what is needed considering the stakes what Wall Street and Big Pharma means to working people who cannot afford prescription drugs or get, you know, an increase in wages.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that later on.
Ooh.
So until then, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone. Transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system. Or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back.
Hey.
And we should check in with the president who, you know, last week was trying to explain to the entire world why he put everyone at risk with his just very impulsive, impetuous decision to assassinate Soleimani, the general in Iran, but on Iraqi soil. Mm-hmm. So he says, so that authorization of military force counts for this, even though it was voted on how many years ago? You know, he's had a lot of trouble getting support because even the briefings he gave was pissing off senators who are Republicans who normally love every single thing he does. But the utter lack of clear explanation around the logic to go ahead and do something like this.
And just the lack of like notificating, like, no, oh my God.
Notificating.
Like notificating people,
of
too.
Of course.
Well, I'm canceled. There you go.
No, you still live, dude. Yeah. Listen how they talk, notificating.
I'll tell you what, look, if you get canceled, I'll make sure you get that Zamboni.
Thank you so
yeah,
much.
Oh, yeah. 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 Rest
far
in peace.
Zamboni, right.
Culturally.
Cansboni.
Yeah, Cansboni. Yeah.
Cansboni. Anyway. I'm sorry, I just ruined everything.
No.
You could also really tell last week when you were listening to any interview with any Republican that there was not a legit reason, because they were all kind of like, the way they were talking, I was like, oh, that's how I would talk about it if someone asked me right now.
Right.
Like, well, there were some thoughts, and it's like, what?
Yeah, no.
He didn't say anything.
There at a rally, though, too, he, again, there was all this confidential information, classified information, couldn't share because, as we see it, it sounds like there was no fucking reason.
Of course.
And also, we found out that 7 months ago, he had basically greenlit some kind of attack.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no imminent threat. So let's just, I mean, I don't know why I'm thinking the president would be honest and take accountability in this instance, but he doesn't. And at a rally, suddenly he gave this information out where he was like, oh, this guy was planning all kinds of attacks, y'all.
But he directed the recent rocket strikes that wounded 4 American service members, badly wounded, and killed an American citizen. That was just before we happened to hit him. Soleimani was actively planning new attacks, and he was looking very seriously at our embassies, and not just the embassy in Baghdad, but we stopped him, and we stopped him quickly, and we stopped him cold.
Boom. So again, I don't know why he thought he was doing a WWF like taunting session. But that's when he's playing to his crowds. But again, you heard there, he said, oh, it wasn't just that one. It was many other embassies. And then that had a lot of people asking, why didn't anyone hear this? Like, what? This never came out until at a rally when the pressure's on, because it's so clear that the administration has been lying. Mm-hmm. So then on Sunday, Defense Secretary Mark Esper, he went around to the shows and I don't know what happened, but he decided to tell the truth out loud to a journalist on TV. He was asked, you know, they were saying, like, when he was asked about the what the president was talking about with all this embassy talk, he was saying, well, the president believed he probably and could have been attacks. And then, like any good journalist, they unpacked that.
That sounds more like an assessment than a specific, tangible threat with a decisive piece of intelligence.
Well, the president didn't say there was a tangible, he didn't cite a specific piece of evidence. What he said is he believed.
Are you saying there wasn't one?
I didn't see one with regard to 4 embassies. What I'm saying is I share the president's view that probably my expectation was they were going to go after our embassies.
All right.
Embassies are the most prominent.
They went from, so my man, are there receipts there? For not that I've seen. But, and then he tried to do the thing of being the homie and being like, but like, I get that he was stressed, that he might, like, that is
he
legit.
He was hungry, he had a bad day.
Yeah,
right.
Like, I get it.
It literally sounds like justifying the actions of, like, a 10-year-old kid. You're just like, well, he kind of gets this way sometimes, so I understand why that would be the reaction, but I personally cannot account for it.
Right.
You're like, no.
So this is, again, I mean, that's an interesting split from the Pentagon and the administration, and a lot of people thought, well, is it possible that the president saw intelligence that our own defense secretary didn't? And most experts that I've seen and read who have written about it have said there's absolutely no way. If anything, the Pentagon would have seen things like more than Trump has, and then they'd pass that information along.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is the recklessness, and just a reminder of like the shitty, like the truly global, like full scale global armed conflict levels of mistakes this president can make. This is where we're teetering on at the moment.
Right.
But don't worry. Because I just want to also share this interesting clip just to show you how Trump even looks at how our military operates and why we send troops and deploy them in certain places. He had an interview with Laura Ingraham. Fine turd. And basically like informed her that the army and our armed forces are basically now like security for hire. And he was just talking about how like, oh yeah, like the Saudis, the Koreans, they've all put money in our pockets.
We're sending more to Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia is paying us for it. You know, we're doing something that nobody's ever done. I said to Saudi Arabia, we have a very good relationship with Saudi Arabia. I said, listen, you're a very rich country. You want more troops? I'm going to send them to you, but you've got to pay us. They're paying us. They've already deposited $1 billion in the bank. We are going to help them, but these rich countries have to pay for it. South Korea gave us $500 million. They never gave us it. They gave us $500 million. I said, you got to help us along. We have 32,000 soldiers in South Korea protecting you from North Korea. You've got to pay. And they gave us $500 million.
What the f- huh? So right now it's like, my man, like, what if we just left? Like, you would get overran, dude. Maybe you need to give us some money for that.
Yeah.
Also, like, just are we running like a mercenary operation now? I mean, we kind of are.
I mean,
but like out loud, being like, okay, you put your $1 billion down payment on,
yeah,
and then we will put American lives at risk based on whatever you need them for.
There's, I mean, it's so bald-faced at this point too, where yeah, he's describing a business transaction that involves human lives, but is
yeah,
just,
and some mobster shit basically.
Yeah, it's like how you would picture like a backroom deal to sound, but it's just being like spoken in public.
Yeah,
I know.
It shows you how comfortable he gets with Fox, like where yeah, he can just he'll just out loud articulate the transgressions that he's committing.
Yeah,
but in a way where he knows like they're not gonna question that.
No one's going to push back on They'd be like, oh, thank you so much for letting us know.
Thank you for honoring us, President.
Well, that's the crazy part of someone like him, where it's like he's just done so much horrific stuff all that there's like, you're allowed, once you've done all that, you're allowed to, it's like you,
yeah,
you build the base of crazy over and over and over and bad and evil. And then now it's like, oh, that's just, now we just assume that's what he is. So if he does anything outside of that, it would almost shock us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This, yeah. That's why I have to keep telling ourselves this is not normal and yeah, it's horrifying. And all we can do is pray for a good outcome in November to try and right the ship, because this is like really the really frightening part. Cause now we're talking about like just launching attacks willy nilly without any consideration. You're mm-hmm, seeing the fallout from that, which was the jetliner from the Ukrainian airliner getting shot down,
yeah,
and the just unnecessary loss of life from.
And then
anyway,
do you remember then he tweeted literally like all is well while it was happening?
Yeah, with the rocket.
Well,
yeah,
all is well. It's like to tweet all is well after like, yeah.
Well, just because, yeah, there was the missile strikes that came out of Iran into Iraq were that no lives were lost. Not to mention, but, you know, how terrifying that would be if you're like, hi, we have to get into a shelter now. Because, like, when you look at what happened to those buildings, if people were there, it would have been catastrophic.
Yeah, and it's like a complete lack of care for any, like, Iranian lives. And just it's just all, it's bad.
So let's talk a little bit about November, because that's sort of the only remedy we have at the moment.
Area for optimism at
all. Well, considering, yeah, McConnell is basically going to, sounds like at this point, it's going to be a sham trial. I'm not seeing much movement with him saying that they're going to have witnesses suddenly.
Yeah.
But that's still developing, but I don't have much hope in that. But Bernie Sanders has really been surging in the last few weeks. I mean, he's now gotten endorsements from like the Sunrise Movement and Dream Defenders, and really sort of solidifying the like support from the progressive wing, the left wing of the party.
And cool celebs.
Cool celebs. Yes, Ariana Grande.
Emily Ratajkowski.
Emily, that was a fun one.
That was a fun one.
Which one?
Emily Ratajkowski endorsed Bernie.
In what way? It was just like,
I
just
don't
did
know,
a tweet?
With her titties, I don't know.
Yeah. With
her, she had her breasts out?
I think that maybe tits out for Bernie is a good movement, though.
I think
that's a good idea.
Weren't you talking about that?
I was like, let's get some pasties and figure out what we can do.
Right.
But yeah, Emily Ratajkowski, Ariana Grande, Cardi B, Lizzo, everyone's.
I mean, yes. All
the cool kids.
Please, the more people you can make aware, fantastic, of what needs to be done and people need to turn out in November.
And it's great that the endorsements are coming now. I feel like sometimes celebrity endorsements come like closer to the election and then
yeah,
it does. Whereas now, yeah, there's enough time still to get.
Well, I think because it's really important that like we try and have a nominee selected as early as possible.
Yes.
So to get that machine fully running versus the knife party that looks like is a brewing slightly. Because we're 3 weeks away from Iowa. You know, Bernie and Elizabeth Warren are basically in a statistical tie when you take in the margin of error. And I'm glad to see that those are the two people that are the front runners and not Biden and Buttigieg. Like, we actually have people who, you know, to varying degrees have the same commitment to helping working people. And now, you know, a lot of people thought Elizabeth Warren was going to be the recipient of a lot of these endorsements too, because towards the end of last year, she looked like the one who was going to overtake Bernie, overtake Biden and be the nominee. And now things are very unpredictable. But now we're starting to see a little bit of, I don't know, not shade, because this isn't like really very malignant or malicious in terms of what she's trying to say, because there was a leaked script from canvassers that came out from the Bernie Sanders campaign. She's sort of described it as being trashed, like that she would tell that Bernie would, she was hurt that Bernie would have his volunteers trash her.
Right.
But the script basically said that if they were voting for Warren, or if they were interacting with a Warren supporter, that it was something like, oh, that's great, she would be my second pick, I like her, but do you know that her base of support is very homogenous. It's like very much college educated, high income people. And she's not necessarily adding to the base of support, which is something that will be necessary going in November. That was sort of the gist of it. And that was the trashing line.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'd seen that script before, and it feels like, I don't know. I mean, it's like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren for, it seems like a very long time, have had basically an agreement that it's like, we're not going to like, politics, like trash each other in the way that politics normally would. But I don't know. I mean, it's like that didn't feel like it is factual information. Like, it's not like the sort of like tear down TV ads of like Elizabeth Warren toxic for the that kind of.
I almost see it as a positive, like to be like, oh yeah, I respect that choice. That would be my second choice. It's not like it's saying like, oh, we would never even. That feels like trash to me, is when it's like, oh God, it's like, no, she would be my second choice. It's like, you know.
Well, I think any differentiation between the two candidates is going to be taken as an attack.
Right.
Or whatever. Right. And I'm sure there'll be plenty from both sides at a certain point doing that. But, you know, when Bernie was asked about it, he was just sort of like, I'm friends with her. And you ever, he's like, we have a huge, we have a large national campaign, just a gigantic machine running. I don't know if that person, if I have people in field offices who are sending canvassers out with that script. He's like, that's personally not at my, that's definitely not in my direction.
Right.
And he's like, and I've never said a negative thing about her, like with my own words in a public statement. So he's like, why are we doing this?
I could never be able to. I can. Can you imagine? I would be the worst. Anytime anyone said, because I would be like that. Anytime anyone said anything, I'd be like, well, they trashed me.
I'm shattered.
As a very sensitive person who could never be in politics, I'd be like,
I'm done for.
Be on CNN every other day, like, oh my God, that was so mean.
I don't get what I did.
I'm not expanding the base.
I don't even think that. I'm so sorry. But I don't know. It seems to me like that was a bummer to happen. And this week there's already been this story that's come out of CNN that people on Twitter are freaking out about. The headline is, Bernie Sanders told Elizabeth Warren in private 2018 meeting that a woman can't win, sources say. Whom star these sources? We do not know. It doesn't seem that seems very out of character or out of context for to be reported by CNN. But I think that, like, because Bernie and Warren have sort of been generally like not wanting to trash each other, now there's just like media narratives coming out that's like just trying to pit them against each other anyways. But that's just because, like, you know, like people who are would prefer for the Buttigiegs and Bidens of the world to be in power have a vested interest in turning these two progressives 100%. Against each other.
Those people are shitting themselves. They're like,
Bernie hates women. Like, there's a really good Twitter thread that came out over the weekend from Patty Harrison, who is the best. But she's basically just talking about like her background of like growing up in a conservative family and just having the ability to be patient and talk to just literally different progressive people with different opinions. And instead of like the worst possible thing that can happen is for people who are really passionate about Bernie and people who are really passionate about Elizabeth Warren to like eat each other.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like we've seen this before to like a I mean, there were definitely bigger political differences between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. So it just makes it all the more frustrating to watch. Like we're all basically on the same side here.
Exactly.
And there are like minutia things where it's like there are things I don't agree with about certain, but it's like not enough to like attack
totally
someone who feels that way. That's just like the most counterproductive
we're
thing
we're letting
to possibly
the right do. Win if we do that. Like yeah. we're letting like we're yeah.
And the candidates seem aware of that. So it's like
yeah.
everyone, you know.
And I kind of like to think the voter base does too. Like I feel like there's been a lot of Twitter, or at least on Twitter, it does feel like people are like not turning on Bernie because they're not like, oh, Bernie, everyone's seeing
you never know though. I mean, it's like it's all those people
scary.
Who yeah,
yeah.
Who
it's scary. Oh,
might
no,
just
it's
take
scary.
A headline as truth mm-hmm. and not really explore that and then be like, oh, okay. But when you even think, I mean, Bernie's campaign had a statement where they said, it's ludicrous to believe that at the same meeting where Elizabeth Warren told me she was going to run for president, I would tell her that a woman couldn't win. It's sad that 3 weeks before the Iowa caucus and a year after that private conversation, staff who weren't in the room are lying about what happened. What I did say that night was that Donald Trump is a sexist, a racist, and a liar who would weaponize whatever he could. Do I believe a woman can win in 2020? Of course. After all, Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump by 3 million
Hell
votes
yeah.
in 2016.
Great.
So I don't know, like, again, I think it's interesting to see we've already seen like a few weeks ago when it was clear Bernie was starting to really bubble, people going like, well, the Medicare for all thing's going to Trump's going to win because of that. Yeah. So I think we're going to see more and more hits from the center trying to disrupt this like surge in progressive.
And now that it seemed like the media the ostensible media strategy of like leaving Bernie out of media coverage
yeah.
has failed and people have only become more passionate about
right.
it after realizing that. Now it's like the strategy is changing and like, okay, well then if we have to talk about him, let's, you know,
right.
so true.
Find our angles. What? I just made a fart noise with my mouth.
Oh.
Sure, said, sure, with your mouth.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
But there's also this other poll from the Des Moines Register that was asking like what level of enthusiasm everyone had for their candidate.
Yeah.
And when it came to like, you know, are you enthusiastic? Extreme enthusiasm, which was the most for Buttigieg supporters, 26%. And also Biden supporters, 26% of their base said they have extreme enthusiasm. Warren, 32%. For Sanders, it's 49%.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of
that's what it feels.
And this is sort of what I think, you know, for people trying to pit these sides against each other. You do stir a little shit because, you know, campaigns do get a little, you know, people get, they pick their sides.
Totally.
And yeah. I think that's really an attempt to exploit those sort of, not divisions, but difference in who their candidate is to ultimately make it toxic enough that they'd be like, well, if they get the nomination, you would never support them, right?
Right.
You
and know, it's like, we see how that goes when totally. People make that decision. It's, yeah, just be patient with each other, everybody, unless you're like, unless you got friends who are like, Buttigieg and Biden are
yeah, don't be
smart
with
and hot, and then maybe get a little bit
are
like
smart and hot.
On, are smart and hot, but I
who's
mean,
hotter, Biden or Buttigieg?
I mean, Buttigieg, but
okay.
like
all right, just wanted
but
to
like,
check.
Why
just
make
take the
me
temperature
do that?
Of the room?
I was thinking about Pete Buttigieg the other day, not because I wanted to, but because Seth MacFarlane signed a $200 million deal with NBC. So I was just thinking about. I'm like, well. Some of that money is going to go to Buttigieg.
You and this Seth MacFarlane Buttigieg triangle is my favorite thing. When you
he loves him so much.
I don't think for the last couple of times where Pete Buttigieg has come up, Seth MacFarlane doesn't also come up.
They're one and the same team. They're best friends. They're in the wine caves together.
Hey, good running mate. Buttigieg MacFarlane.
I mean, now we're talking.
You're like the same man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's.
One thing I know that Bernie Sanders did say, he said he wouldn't have another old white man as his running mate. So you can count on that.
Good. Just for people who support Bernie and support Warren, be patient and kind with each other. And like we're all in the same boat here. Like
totally.
Chill out. It's
yeah.
Okay.
People. The bottom line is if you support either, it's because you understand that there is a failure of this government to support the working people and just people who are not fantastically wealthy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing you have to keep your focus on. Because again, when you have things like these, all these reports about like the Dow Jones was surging and 22% in 2019,
right?
Unemployment is so low. It's like, who gives a fuck? Like, I don't know anybody who's like, oh, thank God the Dow's up. I'm like, I'm now my child can have braces.
You know it's so I mean? True. The people who care about the Dow are, they're like, not, they're not, they no don't,
one they're I've a minority
ever,
of people.
Yeah, no one I've ever met is like benefiting from that news.
Yeah, right. We don't ever get to a show and we're like, hey, Jamie, great to see you. By the way, did you see? We're up some points today, baby.
When I open with the Dow joke, it's been a while.
Oh, the crowd's love my Dow
riffs. The Dow today.
Oh, yeah. I like to start off. Let's just check the Dow really quick. You guys can see. Can you guys see it?
Fort Wayne, Indiana, surging. Losing their shit over the Dow.
And even it's like, ridiculous. And then when you look at it too, wages have only gone up 2.9%. Even after all those tax cuts, when AT&T's like, oh yeah, this is going to be great for our employees, they're already firing people and shifting jobs out of country.
Yeah,
this is why like.
We only have one shoe factory left in Massachusetts,
and it's
people.
We've
only
got
and it's for golf.
And it's for exactly. And it's for all you rich fucks. It's you know what? You know what?
But this is again, this is what I think people need to put into their mind's eye, because of all these things that I'm sure on the right they're gonna be like, oh yeah, well what about the Dow? And about this, like you can even tell them, are you benefiting from that?
Right. Right.
Have your wages gone up? Are you in a place where you feel like very financially stable and not like within, you know, three bad incidences happening, or maybe even one, that you could completely turn life upside down for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing people, you know, let's keep that in our mind's eye.
Yeah, so all right. Be good to each other.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. And say hi to somebody. I've been trying to do that more.
Say hi?
Yeah, like when I walk by somebody on the street, if I catch eyes with them, sometimes I'll be like, people look away. Sometimes I'm like, hey, how you doing?
I love to say hi.
Do you?
I do, yeah. Like, because I walk a lot, and mm-hmm. then I'm on the button. Like, there's a lot of opportunities.
What do you do? How do you do hi?
You go, hey. I have like a system where genuinely, like when I'm walking to the bus stop near my house to come here, like I'll do that thing where I'll like see if we lock eyes the first time, I'll look down and look back up and be like, hey. Yeah. It feels less threatening that way. I don't want to just like lock eyes.
Hi,
and be like, hi. So I'll be like, get the. I was like, okay, a consenting look.
Hi, yes. I like Zambonis.
Hi, my name's.
Holy shit.
Hi, my name's Little Jimmy. You want to talk?
Little Jimmy, your name's Jimmy.
My name's. I like to open and close the loop. I don't. You know what I mean? If I'm gonna do an interaction, I don't. Almost. I like to do a hi. Good morning. Keep going. Yeah, I'm not looking for it. You know what I mean? Morning.
Yeah, keep just going. Acknowledgement. Yeah,
acknowledgement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that.
Just it helps. You know, makes everybody feel acknowledged. And like we're humans.
Yeah.
I feel like especially LA, everyone has their head fucking down. You're in your cars.
It's nice to be seen.
So you're telling me it's so nice to be seen.
Yeah, and then when we remember we're all in pain and we're all hurting, we're all on the same planet. You know, we're all like we're all human beings. Like I do think there's something nice about acknowledging people on the street of like, oh yeah, you're like we're all
hi
doing
person, that. Hi, yeah, like, versus all, like
yeah
someone who I will just create a backstory about totally. As I walk by to not
but still
them.
Do that. Still do that after you say hi.
Yo, wild man. My mother though, the queen of giving people backstories who she's never met.
Really?
Like they're they have like full on 3-act arcs.
Absolutely.
Well, that's
same.
How she's a,
from I think I mentioned this a while ago.
Area
from a
of expertise.
Person she thought someone was crying like in front of her house on a curb.
Uh-huh.
And she thought the woman was really into the Twilight films.
I'm
saying like
such a
just
leap.
Leaps
I love
and
that.
One giant leap for momkind.
Yes.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah.
Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
And we're back, and let's just really just want to mention this Ritz cracker competition thing.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I like Ritz crackers. Mm-hmm. I never buy them.
Nope.
But
no.
When I interact with them, I'm like, how much fucking grease are in these things?
That's the thing.
And that's what I like about it.
Like, if we compare just a Triscuit to a Ritz, I mean, Triscuit, you're gulping for water.
Triscuit, yeah.
Ritz, you got a drink and a food in the, yeah. in the thing. That thing is wet with butter.
Oh, yeah. You could, like, you can use it to, like, spy on people. Like, you could just put it on the wall, and it'll render, like, a visible hole through it from the grease. Like in that Simpsons episode where Homer's trying to gain all that weight.
I had a coworker in Boston years ago that I ended up making a series of maybe kind of mean cartoons about him. But his whole thing was, his name is Nick. We're friends. Okay. So, but what his whole approach to socializing with us was, he would have us rank things, and having us rank crackers was his favorite thing. And he had like a kind of a funny voice, and so we would be like standing behind the bar. So I was working at a bar, and he would just like, we had nothing to say to each other, and then he'd be like, "Hey, Jamie," like Triscuits, Ritz. What else is
like
there?
Like Mary Kiss Kill, but with crackers. And
yeah,
saltines.
Like, saltines. Rank them, and then I would just sit there, and then I'd rank them, and then put Triscuits last because I'm important. And he'd be like, "No love for Triscuits," and that was his whole thing.
And he'd write it down.
He'd have you rank.
He actually has a whole spreadsheet of data that he's been mining.
Yeah, the best. He had a whole blog about reviewing turkey club sandwiches that he would get from, like, Subway, Macy's. Like, he would get all
Macy's?
There used to be somewhere in the Boston
cafe.
Metro area. Yeah, like a cafe in the basement.
That's
of
very
Macy's.
Suburban.
Oh, okay. He would write these long-ass posts, yes. like, the crispness on the Macy's turkey Subway.
Wow.
So.
I like, love
dude, that voice. You're killing it.
So, he sort of speaks.
Yeah, he's a little curvety.
A little, all right.
I love that. I relate to that. Just a pure obsession with one thing and then dedicating a lot of your life to it. I'm like, yeah, I could see myself falling down that hole.
The singularity of that vision.
He's greasy. Yes. Crackers or just something else.
So, okay, so there's a competition on? Where, because my mom did cook with them a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well,
there
is a Ritz crushed crackers recipe contest.
Yes.
Okay. And they have a culinary professional category where it's like, you're a legit chef. And they also have one for culinary students. The grand prize winner was the pork you pie.
Okay.
So it comes from the chef and owner of a Tex-Mex restaurant in Chicago, Kim Dalton. This recipe, okay, it's a savory and sweet pork and cheddar mock apple pie.
Oh, no.
With a crisp and buttery Ritz crumb topping.
This is why I don't like fancy food. It's like, oh, who wants that? I don't want an apple pie with pork in it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess mock apple pie. I'm curious
fancy?
If it's, there's, I think it's maybe just a pork pie with cheese and maybe hints of other, I don't know. It won. It must have been good.
Yeah, I guess.
Don't knock it till you try it. Wow, so yeah, tepid response for that
I'm
one.
Like tepid.
I mean, sometimes things that sound gross actually taste good, so I won't rule it out. There's been worse things.
Right.
That's what I'll say of this winning recipe. There's been worse things.
Yep.
I guess chicken pot pie. I'm like, already that's a little gross to me. So then when you're like, oh, you're going to take an even grosser meat and slap it in there, I'm out.
The thing that they...
Good for Kim. This is what Kim says.
Yeah. She says, okay, it's really good. She was inspired.
She would say that.
Well, it was inspired by a vintage recipe she saw on the back of a Ritz crackers box. Like, so it's like an old one, but she then sort of took some creative liberties with it.
Okay, so pandering to
So I'm sorry, let me go again. It's really good. It's kind of a classic. Okay. I think that should end the debate right there.
I
mean,
I do feel like if I described that meal to my grandparents, they'd lose their shit. You know,
yeah,
that's true. As an old timey recipe, I think that would hit.
Pork pie.
What she also says is the Ritz crackers they're added instead of apples.
Okay, so
that's what it is. So it's not like an apple pie. So it's more of a just in your mind, keep pork and cheddar.
Okay,
but with Ritz crackers.
Good.
Boom.
Right. Now it's
a
little
of that?
Bit. Now.
Hey.
And now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
Kim, we're coming. We're getting on a flight.
Okay. And in the culinary student category, the grand prize winner was a millefeuille. How do you say that shit?
Yes. I know what it is.
I just remember the movie Carpool with Tom Arnold.
There's a moment
where they spend 3 minutes. There's like a joke where they don't know how to say millefeuille.
This is French,
I'm guessing.
It's two words and there's a hyphen involved. And
isn't it mean like a thousand layers or something?
Millefeuille.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's what the mille, M-I-L-L-E, yeah. Like millenniums.
Millimeters.
Anyway, instead of the puff pastry for this, using Ritz crackers to serve as the pastry, because it's like a very layered pastry dish.
Okay.
This sounds good.
And was a student of the Institute of Culinary Education in Pasadena. Okay. Shout out to Pasadena. Let's drive over.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that just seems like it was a pretty straightforward recipe, but hey, the students, they're getting it done too.
All right. I would have Fernando's dish in a second.
Yes, I think
Kim,
because Kim, it's almost like flashy. We got pork. We got apples. It's a pie. It's old.
And Fernanda Diallo, she says
She said, no. This is just a classic with Ritz.
Classic with Ritz. Bye. Gotta go. Yeah. Where's my grand prize
Kim
money?
Dalton, I'll guess. Ritz nepotism.
Wow. She married into the Ritz fortune.
She married into, definitely.
She's Mr. Ritz's niece.
Her maiden name, Nabisco.
Okay,
Kim Nabisco. Dude, Kim Nabisco sounds like the weirdest villain.
Is a great spy name. I like one time as a joke for like 3 months at a place I was working, as my emergency contact, I had the phone number for Nabisco. What
is
if I had
an 800 number?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm surprised no one's checking your emergency contact. Also, though, like,
don't care if you live or
God forbid something happened and they called Nabisco and you just played the cruelest prank on yourself.
And I just died. That was a funny way to die.
Don't you think it's kind of that is very funny.
I don't know. It's super tragic, but kind of hilarious.
They're like, what is she allergic to?
Okay, let's roll up our sleeves.
Here we go.
Talk about the Oscars because the nominations were announced on Monday. And wow.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow. The Joker. 11 nominations, okay? A story of a white guy who literally paints his face even whiter.
Has anyone actually... I haven't seen... I didn't have it in me to see it.
Me neither.
I was... So we haven't...
I haven't seen it.
I'm sure it's fine.
I just don't...
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
I don't...
It's bad.
I'm sure Joaquin Phoenix is great. You know, he's a very compelling actor. He transforms...
He fell in love with that Scarlett Johansson computer. He fucked his phone in that movie.
He fucked his phone.
He fucked his phone in that movie. We liked that for some reason.
Yeah. Did he get nominated for that? Didn't he?
I think he did get nominated for fucking his phone.
Phone fucker was the name of the movie, right?
He'll nominate this guy for all sorts of things. He's very talented.
Yeah.
Joker was nominated for everything, and like no women and people of color were nominated.
Except for Bong Joon.
Yes, which is
as
great.
Director. That's like, it.
For a lot of stuff, which is great. Everyone else were. So Cynthia Erivo was nominated, and then.
Right, yep.
The only. I think that was
for the Harriet Tubman film.
The only person of color nominated in any of the acting categories.
I believe
and
so.
Meanwhile, to add insult to injury, Scarlett Johansson's nominated twice. So, really.
Also, the fact that Awkwafina literally won the Golden Globe.
And wasn't even nominated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Oscar's so white. Remember that hashtag? That was, 5 years ago, maybe?
It was like 2015.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, you know, and in response to that, the Academy was like, you know what? Didn't really even think about that one. How white this shit is. And they said, you know, they were announced unprecedented changes to its membership and voting rules because they want to make the membership and like voting just more diverse. Mm-hmm. Here we are 5 years later, and we've yet to see of 20 acting nominations. Yeah, Cynthia Erivo is the only person of color who's nominated. Ugh.
And there was like, and you always see like the horrible Twitter responses of like, well, were the performances there? And it's like, there were some, Awkwafina literally won a Golden Globe.
J-Lo.
Yeah.
J-Lo.
Was nominated. People loved her in Hustlers.
Yeah. Lupita in Us.
And even though that's like a genre flick, which typically, but it's like, yo, she had
Daniel Kaluuya was nominated for Get Out. Like, right. It's like, there's a precedent for that. But
you want to nominate Scarlett Johansson twice.
Twice.
That, to me, is actually the real fuck you.
That's a slap in the face. Yeah.
Is it just like a room of people? Or is it I don't even know how it feels like it's got to be a contained group, right?
Miles,
it's
not, do you have any insight into that? I mean, I know that like
people vote
there's an increase, but it's still like, I think that the percentage I was reading today was they were like, well, you know, there's twice the amount of people of color in the Academy there used to be, but it still comes out to like 16%.
Right.
And the Academy was bragging about like, well, like there's almost one third of female nominees in this year's cat. And you're like, yeah, that's not parody, you stupid ass. Like it's...
Yeah.
I was most annoyed. I mean, I like Greta Gerwig a lot, and I think she like deserved a nomination, but I wanted like Lulu Wang to get like The Farewell is so fucking good, and just that movie, like there was just a bunch of movies that were shut out entirely.
Yeah.
I thought The Sandman should have gotten
nomination. I saw Little Women.
You saw
over the break.
What'd you think?
I thought it was great.
It's so good. I'm glad
Tim Chalamet, wow. Man. The boy can flutter and dance
that
like a person from the 19th century.
Sharp looking.
Yes.
He could just cut you. He's got a sharp looking
with his
head.
Eyes, with his chin.
Right?
With his
chin,
cheeks.
Oh, angular.
I thought he's dating Johnny Depp's daughter.
No.
Right?
He is?
Yeah.
Who's Johnny Depp's daughter?
I didn't know.
Someone famous?
Yeah, she's famous now.
Anyone's kid who's not famous? Like, does someone's kid just like work as a PA?
No, there's no one.
Actually,
famous,
I do know someone who's famous whose kid works as a PA.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd they do?
Nothing. They just got a good head on their shoulders.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
Nepotism is so funny to me because like if you don't think it's funny, you cry.
Yeah, and it's weird. Like typically, like in the Academy Awards, period films like Little Women would do well.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't understand like. And I remember seeing the one back in the day. It wasn't Winona Ryder in like the last one that came out.
Which is pretty good. We covered it
good.
On the Bechdelcast recently.
I got like way more into like the Greta Gerwig one was very accessible. I feel like even for like younger people, like it was written in a way that didn't. I'm like, I don't know any Louisa May Alcott stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway.
This was such a bummer. And like the Academy is like, well, we let more women and people of color in. So what's. And it's like the percentages are still so fucking low that it's like.
Yeah.
They didn't even nominate Beyonce. In the song
doesn't
category.
Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I don't know if the song was good. I didn't see anything about Lion King.
Right. The original songs are always bad. That's the point.
But now it's Diane Warren and Randy Newman like every fucking year.
That's another thing I'm mad about too is that Universal
Mad
got
About Two.
Mad About Two
the
on
follow-up
Spectrum,
to Mad About You.
On Spectrum Originals.
Spectrum Originals sounds like
that's
the worst.
Thing.
It's a
There's
thing.
A Mad About You series on Spectrum Originals.
Oh, wow.
The
that was a cruel joke that came to haunt me in my real life. Okay, go on.
Everyone's got a streaming service now.
But they also, I lost all my bets. I did an Uncut Gem style bet on Cats sweeping the Oscars. And Universal, they took, which is kind of funny, they took everything from Cats out of consideration. So it's not even a snub.
Wait, so.
They would have gotten an original song nomination. I don't know why they did that.
They were going to.
Yeah.
Present it for consideration, and then like, actually, no.
Yeah,
no,
it was on their for consideration website, and then after the first weekend of Cats, and they made $6, they were like, never mind, and they just took everything. But it's like, they had a Taylor Swift song that was like a C-. That could have gotten an Oscar nomination. In 2020, Taylor Swift.
I mean, probably good because if Cats started getting nominations over some of these other films, it would have been dark.
Shit.
Days
so
for those people in that film.
Well, either way, the Elton John song is going to win. But, like, it's just... Ugh. And then I thought, I don't know, were there like Bombshell got a bunch, like not a bunch, but Bombshell got some nods and you're just like, oh, great, great. You know,
right.
White feminism, the movie.
It was interesting.
Directed by Austin Powers.
When
what?
Oh, you're talking about Bombshell?
I didn't see it. Yeah.
When,
don't you feel like it just came out? I'm like, I thought that, yeah.
It did. Yeah. It feels
it did like just it came out like yesterday.
Very everyone minimal was, marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because it's not very good.
Oh. Yeah. Mm. Well. The one thing though that was great was when John Cho and Issa Rae, again, add insult to injury, you have two people of color presenting the yeah. awards to, okay. When they announced like the director's nominees, Issa Rae summed it up as she said, and congratulations to those men. I
yeah.
like it. Appropriate. I wish there was more that could have happened.
Yeah.
For the, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take.
At this point, I'm just like, well, Parasite better win a big fucking
totally.
Award, or what was right. the point of this year?
Well, it's also weird when like films get you know nominated for Best Picture and other things, and then not Best Director. I'm like,
right.
you'd think there's a consistency
right.
about. You'd imagine that if it's the Best Picture, then the director must get some credit,
so
unless you're saying
true.
Like the film is good. Director, whatever. It was
you're
really all about the script.
You're so true. That's what
and like
point.
I don't always understand when people sort of get. I feel like they're sort of hand in hand. But look, everyone has their own way of looking at this whole filmmaking thing.
I don't. And it's like weird that the winners from the other award shows leading up to this have kind of been all over the place. Like the at the Critics' Choice, because no, which no one gives a shit about. But whatever. Zendaya had a good outfit.
Did she?
Yeah, she had a
she
great.
Did. She looked like she was
what's
very
a good outfit?
Space. It was like a space plate.
Hardened like plate.
Yeah, yeah, it was like hot pink. It was amazing.
Did you ever have those dolls when you were younger where you got to put like the jelly sort of?
Yes,
didn't it?
It
felt
was
like a real
that.
Life jelly
what
shirt.
Those dolls
what
called?
Were they?
I don't
know.
But they were. But it was
Whoa.
Definitely like that. It's an amazing.
What
outfit.
Is that like a molded plate?
Exactly.
That's not
right.
like painted
like that.
On. That's like a rigid.
It's, that's
yeah.
like
piece.
A like a Star Trek. Like okay, let me measure your exact breast size. Boink.
I feel like they must
cool.
have like made it on her.
Right.
It's like, how do you
gotta
to,
get the
like,
mold.
Make a paper mache cast and
yep.
then do something. Like,
yeah.
It was great.
Shout out to the Women's College Scripps at their cafe. They, my Her Majesty was a barista there, and all the baristas
oh.
had to get breast molds that they put like up in the,
Wait,
in the cafe.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and then you can paint them.
Oh, that's the best.
Arts. It's art.
But okay. With the Critics' Choice Award last night, or not, well, 2 nights ago, wasn't it Sam Mendes and Bong Joon-ho tied for best director? Mm. Like there were a bunch of ties, so it's like
yeah.
there's a lot of different.
I love a tie. That's kind of.
And you
nice.
Think if Parasite, with how well that film is being critically acclaimed, like the none of the acting was good enough.
No, people were like pulling for a supporting actor for the man who plays the dad
uh-huh.
in Parasite, and that didn't go through.
Is that because of the foreign language? Like, is there some crossover there? Like, where it would have?
You have to think, but it made it in so many other huge categories
yeah.
and didn't get like pushed to like mm. it was. It's nominated for best international
yeah.
film, but like it's
that's
nominated
true because
for screenplay.
Roma
editing.
Had the same thing too, where people
yeah.
were being not. Hmm. Huh.
Snubs
well,
on snubs.
I mean, I think that's also the thing where it's like we have the as time goes on and we see the lack of actual acknowledgement of a lot of these achievements, we at a certain point we have to like let these awards go too, because it's like they're
yeah.
not actually a good indicator of like what the best performances were.
Right. Truly, yeah.
And that's where I guess, you know, we'll have to have a reckoning with our love of awards at a certain point.
I do like to get mad. Demi Adigwebe had a great tweet about how much he likes to get mad at shit like this. And I do like to get mad about it. But, you know, I'm never going to watch The Irishman, so whatever.
My first one, the first time I got so pissed at the Academy Awards, I think it was 1998 or 99, when mm-hmm. Saving Private Ryan, Steven Spielberg got Best Director, but then Shakespeare in Love was Best Picture.
Oh, right. And that was a Weinstein
and I was like,
grift.
Like,
that was
like,
a fucking Weinstein
my,
grift.
My, like, little 14-year-old self who was, like, just hopped up on war porn was just like, that's... fucked up, man. The movie's powerful.
I hope that Laura Dern wins and then she makes
Laura
more
Dern.
Fun Baby Yoda jokes. That would sustain me. She went on Colbert and was like, Baby Yoda's my boyfriend. She's just upping the ante.
Hell yeah.
It's
yeah.
fun.
I mean,
she's the best.
Good
yeah.
for her. Very diverse dating background. She's not with Baron Davis anymore, right?
No, she's single right now.
Oh.
But people say that she's fucking the puppet.
Okay, well,
yeah.
hey, more power to you.
Yeah.
More power to you. Alyssa, thank you so much
Thanks
for coming by.
Thanks for
It's been wonderful.
What a joy. So fun.
Yeah. Where can people find you, follow you, support you, consume your content, you know, give you money?
Yes, all of those things at Alyssa Limp on Instagram and Twitter. Same thing. Come check it out.
Amazing,
okay.
amazing character work.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
yeah.
that a lot. Thanks for having me.
You're like one of those, the few feeds where I can be like, no, go. Follow, call,
reliable,
follow now.
Go, like, yeah.
Follow
she doesn't
now.
Miss.
Oh.
The woman has never missed.
Never missed to the point where I thought I knew you.
Oh my God.
I don't
God.
Know why.
That's
not
so
like,
sweet.
Not even in a weird way where I'm like, oh yeah, that's the homie. I was just sort of like, yeah, Alyssa's coming by.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, this is the first time.
Oh, cool.
Anyways, and is there a tweet that you like? You want to shout out a tweet? Anyone's tweet
yes.
that you think is
yes.
just hilarious
yes.
or poignant?
Where is it? Let me find it. My good friend, Mae Wilkerson. So funny. Also, also a great follow at Shut Up Mae. And she tweeted, my dog and I both have anxiety. So whenever I'm pacing my apartment, she follows me around like we're marching in a mental illness pride parade. And I love it. I love the image of the two of them. They're both so like tiny too. So just the two of them like scooting around the apartment pacing is very sweet.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah.
Jamie.
Yes.
How about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus. Help. You can listen to my year in Mensa. This is my four-part podcast about Mensa is coming out now. I've got tour dates coming up in the next couple of weeks in San Francisco. There's no more tickets to my show, but there are to the Bechdel cast.
Boom.
In New York, tickets to the Bechdel cast at the Bell House on the 24th. And my solo show is almost sold out on February 10th. And in Philly, our Bechdel cast shows are sold out, but you can come see me do Boss with Miss Girl on February 8th. I think that's everything. And I want to shout out a tweet that I was just talking about from Demi Adejuyibe at Electro Lemon, complaining about the Oscar nominations is a grand tradition as old and fun as watching the Oscars themselves. I love it. They absolutely fucked it up. Can't wait to watch. I'm going to be so fucking mad.
Hey, get fucking mad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then he tweeted a clarification that he's serious.
Hell yeah. Let's see. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Also, check out my new podcast with Sophia Alexandra, 420 Day Fiancé, where we talk about 90 Day Fiancé, but like high. So, you know, that shit's wild. It's also like a game show, too. So really tune into that if you like the show. And even if you don't, chances are you're going to like it. Also, we should say some tour dates because the Daily Zeitgeist, we will be live on January 25th at the Gateway Theater in San Francisco with guest Demi Adejuyibe and Michael Swain. On the 30th in Portland at Mississippi Studios. On February 12th, Brooklyn, New York at the Bell House also. That guest will be Dan O'Brien. I think I can confirm that now, formerly of Cracked and now of the John Oliver Last Week Tonight writing staff. Then the 13th of February, Washington, D.C., Miracle Theater. February 25th, Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Parkway Theater. February 27th, Chicago, Illinois, Sleeping Village. And the 28th of February, Toronto, Ontario, International at the Great Hall.
Love it.
I'm looking forward to that. Just because the Great Hall, it can't be a disappointment. It must be fantastic. Now, it's a tweet I like. It's from Dana Donnelly at Dana Donnelly.
Yay.
It says, and this is perfect because we were just talking about The Office. It says, one time on a first date, a guy told me, you might just be the Asian Pam to my white Jim.
Oh!
Like, okay, no, obviously you're Michael Scott and I'm one of the waitresses from the Benihana Christmas episode. Damn.
She's so funny.
Kulop is one of those women in that episode, too.
Yes,
but it switches in the middle. If you notice, the waitresses change. The actresses change from the Benihana to the actual Dunder Mifflin office because there was some kind of thing with the actress who was playing one of those servers.
I didn't know that.
I noticed. I watched.
Someone listens to Office, ladies.
Someone watches so much goddamn Office. I'm like, hold on. How did I not see that? I felt like very achieved. I achieved something when I noticed that. Anyway, you can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page. We also have a website.
Come on.
Yeah, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Also, you know, look, let me tell you something else. The Daily Zeitgeist, it's a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeart, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get them things. And let's actually, now we have to think about what we're going to write. What are we going to, how do we end such a wonderful episode?
Is it a song?
Yes.
Can I pitch that we try to, can we try to find one of, what's his name?
Oh, what's his name? I forgot already.
Chris Gaines?
Chris Gaines. Let's see if we can get a Chris Gaines hit.
Oh, wow. You know, it's not often where something so organically is being determined in this room.
This has been his first airplay in years. This is huge.
I don't know if you can find Chris Gaines
like
on...
maybe he didn't even, maybe it wasn't even he released songs as it. He just...
Whoa, it's weird. Like on, at least on Spotify.
Scrubbed.
Scrubbeth.
Wow.
What's going on, Big Garth?
Oh no, he's
yeah,
got
exactly. What's Garth Brooks really?
There's
up
one
to?
On there's one on on YouTube. Chris Gaines, oh, Lost in You.
Here we go.
Do I have the?
Oh, here. Well, that's fuck it. Without even knowing what it is, we'll play a. I can't believe we're even going out on Chris Gaines, but Chris Gaines, Lost in You. For a sliver of a moment. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Actually, we'll talk to you later today also, because we got the night guys going. Yep. Anyway, see you then. Bye.
Bye. Heaven knows I'm head over heels and it shows. I played every field, I suppose. But there's something about you when you're around. Baby, I have found I get lost in you. What is this feeling? I've never known.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.